This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by DVC Resale Market. DVC Resale Market has become the leader in the DVC resale industry. They have sold over $400 million in DVC Vacation Club and have over 100 years of combined direct DVC experience. If you're looking to buy or sell, DVC Resale Market wants to put their knowledge and world-class service to work for you. Contact our friend Nick Cotton over at DVC Resale Market at www.dvcresalemarket.com.
My name's Bob, and I'm glad you guys are here tonight! Before we can get all wound up, I want to give a big shout out to Jimmy Hoare in the front. And all those folks listening in tonight on the Disney Nerd Podcast.
To the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and
welcome to show number 388 here at the Disney Nerds Podcast. This is Morgan, and we are playing some games tonight. We're going to do our famous fix it, keep it, dump it, and with me today, I have none other than Ed. How's it going, Ed?
Doing good, Morgan. How are you?
I'm good. I'm ready to play like I'm doing a SimCity with Disney Parks.
Awesome. Can't wait for that. But who else do we have with us?
We have Sam.
Hey, everybody. I'm back. And you know what? I am getting so fired up because my trip's getting closer to closer, and as we see some news coming through and we've learned you could take masks off to get your pictures taken, it's just starting to feel real all of a sudden. I'm getting really excited here. And Ed, you're going before me, so I'm not going till June.
Hopefully I'll be going in a couple weeks, and then actually I think we'll be kind of crossing paths in June for a couple of days.
I think we're gonna run into each other,
so that should be nice. Yep, very cool.
That's awesome, because neither one of you guys have been ever since COVID started. So you've got a lot to catch up on.
It's been a while. It's sort of crazy, Ed, because the last flight that I took before the lockdown, and now this is somebody who was flying over 100 segments a year, the last flight I took was from Philadelphia back to Pittsburgh, and that was after some exchanging of kyber crystals, if I remember right.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's right.
That's the last time, so we'll be getting together in Galaxy's Edge. That'll be awesome.
I know.
Not a delivery service, I don't know what is.
Exactly.
I definitely have it on my list. I'm going to be getting a droid this trip down there, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Have you put any thought into what you're going to build?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
So yeah. That's what's
coming. That's the best way.
That's the bonus.
In.
I know. No, I haven't.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see what type it is and what colors you're coming out with.
Yep.
Since we are talking a little Galaxy's Edge, did you guys hear that it's a little bit more at Savvy's to get your lightsaber? I don't know about the droids.
Isn't it it's a $12, $13 difference or something like that?
It's now $219 instead of, $199.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so, and you know what, Ed? We talked about this, and now clearly COVID changed things. But when we went to get those, I think a comment went between me, you, and Jimmy, which was, they're not going to get any cheaper. And right. Yes, they're not going to.
Well, and I tell you, I don't want to always disagree, but I'm going to disagree again, because I recently, and we all have, actually recently seen a new lightsaber design from Disney where the blade actually retracts from the handle and then lights up. About 2-3 weeks ago, they showed a number of different clips of this where in the standard form or the classic form of creating Soarin with an erector set, the guy used tape measures. And he showed how the tape measures come out of the handle, and the tape goes up with the blade between it, the lights basically, and then it lights up and it comes back down. So how much you want to bet once those guys come out?
That's
might have a price difference.
You're right.
Oh, yeah.
I want to get one of those. But if you think about it, you're exactly right. You pull a tape measure out. I actually have an electric one where I hit a button and the tape measure pushes out and comes in. It's kind of the same thing, but way faster with a light in the middle. That's cool.
Right. Yeah. So definitely check those out. That's pretty cool to see. And there's always new technology. That's what's so great about it. One other quick update, that the Groot, the teenager Groot animatronic, was announced this week. It's another walking animatronic for the parks that looked incredible.
It looks amazing.
I don't think there was video of it actually working. It was more like stills. But what it looks like now, I just can't wait to see it. And if they're advertising it's going to walk, you know it's going to walk because of the things that kind of preceded it.
I have seen video. And again, I don't obviously don't know if it was official video. I'm thinking it was just because of the quality. But I have seen video that involves it taking a couple of steps. And it looks amazing.
Nice.
Yeah, it's
nice. Wow. Okay, guys. Well, we're here tonight to discuss ways that we can, improve the resorts. More so, we have a game that we've been playing called Keep It, Fix It, or Dump It. And normally we do it for attractions at the parks or restaurants or things like that. But we wanted to try to apply the concept to the resorts. So what we're going to do is we're going to take some turns tonight. We'll go through the different categories, and then we're going to go around the resorts. Some of them are very detailed. Some of them are very general. But on the whole, I think if you've been going to the parks over the last 5 or 6 years, you'll probably get the gist of where we're going with these things. And just to put a small rule onto the activity for tonight, we're going to do it pre-COVID, meaning these are all the resorts are open. All the rules are basically how they were before COVID hit. And we're assuming you're going to go back after COVID is done. So we're basically kind of banking it on that. So we're going to do the keep it category first. Who wants to jump off?
Keep it, keep them all.
Yeah.
Well, okay, that's the point.
I get it.
I can go first with keep it if we want.
Yeah, sure.
I know we said no, we're doing everything pre-COVID. But this is actually something from that kind of was already there, but kind of got enhanced a little bit during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the mobile check-in service.
Yep, I agree. And I was ready to give dispensation when you brought this one up. I totally agree.
Yep. I think that should stay. It was awesome. Got to use it in November when State of Art and Animation for our meetup. And it was nice not to have to go to the check-in and check-in. And then go to my room, because I actually parked near my room. I was in a Cars building, so I just parked in that parking lot right by Cars, and it worked out perfectly.
Nice. So now, I did use that app or that function before the COVID hit, my last trips. And to be honest with you, I was 0 for 2 on that, meaning it was two different trips. And one trip, it was a late night arrival, got to my room, and it didn't work. So I had to do the traipse back to the main desk to get it all fixed. So that definitely wasn't fun. So I'm hoping they improved it. And what you said probably is true. With COVID and basically keeping everybody separated, they went full town on this and definitely updated the app.
And that's what I'm saying. I think they did it because I've tried it before. You know, I've gone on the app, mobile checked in, I've put in, you know, my estimated time of arrival, and you know, I get their rooms not ready, I still have to go in. Whereas this is probably the only time, and I even checked in early because I was already in Orlando. I was staying off property, checking into on property, and I was able to get my room early in the morning. So First time that mobile check-in actually worked was during COVID for me.
Nice. And like I said, they probably put a lot more money into it and definitely beefed it up. I'm waiting to see how the phones work in the parks instead of your Magic Band. That's coming.
I'm definitely excited about that.
Until your phone runs out of juice. That's my only downfall to that.
Exactly. Magic Band backup.
I think all of us have the battery backup. And anyone listening, if you don't have a battery backup, we highly recommend one for the parks.
That's for sure. I think everybody's got one. But you know what? I'm still a guy that I print my boarding pass just in case my phone doesn't work. So I'm still going to have a Magic Band. Although I will say early on, the Magic Bands made me nervous. And I wanted to have a Key to the World card in my pocket just in case the Magic Band didn't work. And that didn't last too long. But the whole problem with that mobile using your phone is the battery. I mean,
Sure. The battery, and then it's also going to be the Wi-Fi. Because if you're using park Wi-Fi, it's always kind of touch and go with different places where you are. And I imagine you're going to have to keep going back between a server to find out information. So it's going to be interesting to see how it works. Hopefully it works out great. But as far as the resorts go, I totally agree with you, Morgan. That's definitely something they should keep. They should, and they've beefed it up. So it's awesome. Definitely worth the keep.
Yep. Yeah, I think you got to throw mobile ordering right on there too. And some of the food courts or locations. Just leveraging that technology to be able to order something and grab it.
Is remarkable. Do you know how they actually do that right now, as far as grabbing it in the food courts?
I do. So, like I said, I stayed in November, Art of Animation. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I didn't like was how they have the mobile ordering set up. Like, I understand what they did. So if you know Art of Animation, you know, you actually have to go through the gift shop and then to the food court.
Right. All the values. Yep.
They didn't want you to enter from the dining area to get to your food. They wanted you to take the route from lobby to gift shop to food court.
Oh, so they made those other doors like exits then?
Yep.
Okay. Gotcha.
Which is good with contactless, you know.
Yeah.
That's actually a thing. They want, you know, this is a entrance, this is an exit. You had to show them, yes, I ordered my food. Yes, it's ready. And even when, me and Jimmy and Kim were in Hollywood, we did, in November, we did ABC Commissary for lunch during the scavenger hunt, and you couldn't go in until they said your food was ready, which is not a bad thing.
Yeah, I agree. Well, yeah, I suppose. But in the day, meaning last year before the COVID, you just basically lined up inside while somebody found a table. So, but now I guess there wouldn't be an issue finding a table because there's only letting so many people in. Right. So cool.
The food was, if you're familiar with the food courts at the Disney resorts, you know they have the different stations. What they did is they basically did a bank of, I guess, folding tables, and they blocked you from going really into the food court area to like how you would normally go and get your pizza or your burger or your whatever. And they had the food on the table. They had cast members there to, you know, dole it out to whoever ordered it. It's already prepackaged, wrapped up, ready to go.
Oh, wow. So that's got to be, well, let me rephrase that. Is that hot food or just cold food?
Both. So that would be the only flaw with how they did it at the resorts. Yeah, if you don't get there in time, your food might not be warm.
And I'm thinking that sounds a little bit more COVID treated at this point too.
Yes.
Meaning once they get past it, we're going to go back to the same, hopefully keep the mobile ordering and have a pickup station in the food court like they do in the parks. They have just a separate area you can pick up the food at.
That's one thing I'm hoping, and one thing that kind of snowballed from the mobile ordering at the resorts, that I noticed at Art of Animation, is there's a lot more trays sitting in the hallways at night.
Sure.
Room service.
Sure. Well, not room service, taking it back to the room to eat.
Just taking it back, sure.
Yeah, especially the values. I don't think do they have room service?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I think they have pizza delivery, but I think every resort has a pizza delivery.
Yeah, very true. Okay. You know what? I'm going to jump right in here in front of Sam and I'm going to keep it. And this one's kind of sound basic, but I think it definitely kind of gets overlooked and the keep it. And I think the thing that Disney does incredibly well, considering how many different resorts and how many different levels of money you pay for the rooms, their pools, are phenomenally themed. And even the lowly value resorts that I stay at all the time have such cool pools, and they all have them. The theming is incredible. The hours they have the pools open is incredible. The availability of having them heated during the colder times down in Florida, during the winter time when it gets into the 50s and 60s, is cool. If you want to get out there and swim, you can. I can't think of too many actually negative things about those pools. So definitely a keeper.
That's actually one thing I recommend to all the clients that, you know, I book a Disney trip with, because as we know, I do work for Jimmy for the travel agency, is I tell them, do a pool day. If you're staying on property, take advantage of those pools.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. And it's kind of nice, too, because they're always available. So you could do that break. That was our big thing. We'd come back for that midday break and do the pool and the nap and then go back to the parks at night.
Yeah, and especially most of, unless you go to a quiet pool, you're usually also near some kind of dining at the value, near the food court. You know, some of the, you know, deluxe have a poolside bar that also has sandwiches or something like that. So you could have like a snack or something or a meal, you know, at the pool if you wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, no doubt. And the value, not the value, but the deluxe resort pool areas are almost small little mini water parks. They go really overboard.
And in some cases they are.
Yeah.
Looking at you, Storm Bay.
The Floridian has a pretty big setup. Polynesian has a really nice water slide. The Boardwalk Hotels, I've never been, but that's the one thing that stands out when I'm over there are the pools.
And luckily with Boardwalk, they have gotten rid of the creepy clown.
See, okay. Yeah, so there you go.
When you slide, you don't come out of the clown's mouth.
It's still the Keister Coaster.
But that's the whole point.
The name. I'm happy with that.
So. Yeah, so there you go, the pools. Definitely something that's awesome. Definitely something to keep.
That was a great option. All right, Sam, you ready?
Yeah, and here's what I got, because I almost thought Ed was going to take where I was going to go, but we're on the same wavelength, because I'm going to up-level the conversation and just say the storytelling and theme of each of these resorts, which the pool is a part of that, right? So when you're at Pop Century and you're in the 60s building and you see 9 pins from a bowling lane and then the swimming pool is the 10th one, to hear that storytelling just completes it. Or as we were talking just a second ago, the Keister Coaster over at the Boardwalk, and the clown was part of the theme and it pulled into the Laguna pool area, and maybe we lost a little bit of that, but the storytelling in general is what I see as what newbies to Disney World notice right away. You can go and stay in the wilderness in the Pacific Northwest. You can go and you can stay in a Cape Cod resort town. You can go and you can stay in, you know, luxury over at the Grand Floridian, or stay in Tomorrowland at the Contemporary. Theming is so big, and it's a storytelling. And Ed, we did the tour at the Boardwalk. One of my recent videos was Pop Century and the Shadow Box tour. Wilderness has a tour. The storytelling in general, Disney does it so well.
Oh, sure, no doubt. The just the lobby of the hotel for that tour was incredible. Just the chandeliers, the lights, some of the decorations, they all had meaning. They all came from somewhere, and they all added to the hotel's atmosphere. So cool.
You know, and maybe that's something I wish they'd do more of, which is tell us those stories. Because we're nerds. We love that stuff and love to understand what's happening. When you walk into the lobby of the Yacht Club, for example, there are just references to nautical everywhere and hidden Mickeys in the globe and little things that you find that all tie together. Same over at the Grand Flow, or same in the Poly. It's an amazing thing. And if you know some of those details, something I'd love about going to Disney World is telling other people about that. When we go to Coronado, and I'm going to be able to talk about the Grand Destino Tower and talk about all of the cool things that Walt references in there. And it that to me is amazing and makes it so much fun.
Very cool. And actually, I have our next category is Fix It. And I have the Fix It for what you just said. They have very nice small little plaques, very nicely styled, white painted or whatever, match the decor of the hallway or whatever the item is, and have some type of barcode or scan item on it. And you basically get to scan the item and read all about the story of that elephant on the wall from Margate, New Jersey, right up right up from Cape May. Or right. You get to find out about where all these bottles came from because Walt was a connoisseur of this or something. Nice. Very cool.
Almost I'm always like looking history for stuff markers. Like that. I kind of like that because a little bit of it gets lost.
Sure.
Yeah. And unfortunately, sometimes it changes over time because people don't have the real story. And being able to capture that is so important. And I think that's why that boardwalk tour still just jumps out at me, Ed, when we did that. It was a free tour at the time. I hope they bring those things back. But it was just cool to understand how all those things tie together, like you said, because otherwise you'd never know that Leaping Libations, which is the swimming pool at the boardwalk, has on the side of it the lady diving on her horse who was blind and the whole story from New Jersey. And then you look at the ESPN club and you realize that's a replica of the tank that she would jump into. It's just amazing when you tie that stuff together.
We just came up with a book idea of many, many different editions.
Yeah, you're exactly right. On paper. Because there's so much, and you know what? It's what would be fun about that book, Ed, is the research that goes into it.
Sure.
Right. To understand what they were thinking, especially some of the originals. When you look at the contemporary, one of the cool things over the contemporary and the story behind it, and interviews with Marty Scarr, where he talked about putting or sliding those rooms in like shoeboxes into that A-frame. And at the media event, somebody in the media said, oh yeah, then you can pull them out and change them and push them back in. And Marty's reaction was, well, we never said that, but we never told him no. So we just let him run with it. And it's one of those things that's gone down is like this legend that you could slide them out and slide them back in. That was never the intention. But so many things I'd love to be able to talk about. The storm along Bay, where'd that idea come from? This water park between the yacht and the beach club that's 7 foot deep, lazy river that goes around that isn't lazy if you dive down in that thing. It's a sand bottom swimming pool. They're just amazing things you could talk
about.
And
there's a ton in the parks, in the resorts, everywhere.
And that's it. It's an extension. It's an extension of storytelling. And that's kind of what I love about the Magic Kingdom area, because contemporary, you're staying in Tomorrowland. Polynesian, you're staying in Adventureland. And at the Floridian, you're staying on Main Street. They're themed specifically over those lands, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true. And that's the big difference between Disney and the amusement parks, like Great Adventure. There's not a lot of story going on there other than, like, you know, superheroes.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like your trip to Disney is not really a 100% complete trip unless you are staying on property because of the storytelling and what you immerse yourself in in whatever resort you choose to stay in.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, you don't get that at the local theme park.
And it's another reason to come back. Because you switch it up and then you're like, oh, I love this place. I always want to go back to this one. And that's cool if you have a memory there. Right. But I tell you what, switch it up and you might find something you like even better.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, guys. So now we're going to move on to the fix it. Now, the fix it is something that we like, but it definitely needs to be tweaked a little bit to continue on or to keep or to make it better. And the perfect example is what we just did with that fix it as far as all those different stories around the different resorts. Let's do a little barcode maybe underneath or on the wall, or very, very nicely done, because you don't want these barcodes everywhere. But it's such a really cool story, it's worth it. And you know what? It's almost like a treasure hunt. You're looking for these little things to scan, almost like they had on the cruise ships. So that's what we're looking for now, is a fix it. Something that's cool, but it could be better. Morgan started the last one. Why don't you start this one, Sam?
So this is kind of interesting because initially there were some fix-its from my experience and being able to say, oh, man, why can't they do something? But then I realized Disney fixed some of these things. Let me give you an example. I'm at the Caribbean, and Epcot's right across the road. Why can't I walk to Epcot? Well, wait a minute, Skyliner.
Right.
Or I'm at the Grand Floridian, and why can't I walk to Magic Kingdom? Because it's like just around the lake here. Hey, they fixed the walkway. So there's a couple of things that they did fix, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. They read your mind.
They read my mind and a lot of other people that complained about it, I'm sure.
Sure.
But here's the one fix that they're also working on that's big for me. Walt Disney World has the blessing of size and the curse of size. And here's why I say that. Staying at a deluxe resort where I have to get on an internal bus to get to the feature swimming pool, I just don't like that.
No, Yeah, that's not fun.
I don't want to have to do it. And it's happened to me multiple times, which to me is they're spread out. They're sprawling complexes. And I understand that. You think about what's happened at some of these places. They're just really big with the central food court. So you can get and be quite a far ways from the central location, or where you have to go to fill up that drink cup, or where you have to go to get the food court. And I think Disney's realizing that, and we're seeing things like the Grandestino Tower, which sort of pulls in some of that vacation resort vibe where you can come down out of the tower and you're close to all of the amenities. So that's really what I want to see more of. Less sprawling resort complexes and more towers where you can get to central locations easier and have amenities closer to you. Because there's nothing worse than you're wet and you got to get on a bus to go back to your room because it's an internal shuttle. And yeah,
sure.
That's my big fix it.
They needed more pools. I mean,
that's a good one. Like, I mean, perfect example is Caribbean Beach. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, you know, known for their bus systems. I stayed there right in the middle of their reservations and their renovations. And I stayed in a pirate room, which if you're not familiar with the pirate rooms, those are the furthest away from anything. And they'd already kind of almost completely fixed that problem. They did put a quick service by the quiet pool by those buildings, and it was great food, but they should also add the refillable cup service there.
Yes. Well, they're hard to find.
How does this sound? I was thinking of this as you were talking, and what you said kind of was in my mind. The bus stops are at central locations, just that's the natural way to have it, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you have that bus stop with a mini mart type of setup, so you can get your drinks, you can get this like a really small mini mart at every bus stop, because you figure that's the most central area to begin with, because that's where the bus stops are for the different parts of those hotels. And then
about this, Disney kind of did that for the Skyliner station at Caribbean. They put the Joffrey's right outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe sort of kind of thinking a lot about that.
Sure.
Yeah. And when they talk about Caribbean Beach and that little quick service, it's right behind the bus stop. So perfect. They might already be thinking about that in multiple ways.
I interrupted you, Ed. I'm sorry.
No. I was just saying I was agreeing with Morgan. It's perfect how they thought that way. And I just thought it makes more sense because they already planned out where those central locations are. Obviously, you're going there to get to the lobby. And that's
My experience was at Saratoga Springs. If you end up way off on the side, you got to get on a bus to get to anything. And that was just kind of like, oh, this stinks. Now, the rooms are beautiful. It was a DVC, 2-bedroom suite. It was gorgeous. Loved it. But the location is everything.
And
that's a big
We stayed at the Caribbean that one year with our meetups because the rates were incredible because they were doing some construction. So they gave us some incredible discounts. Yeah, I was really surprised at the vastness. I had never approached that at a Disney property at that point. Even the value resorts were small compared to how large the Caribbean was, which, you know.
Riverside can be the same.
Yep.
Yeah, to a certain extent.
And you know what? To Disney's credit, they tried to fix it at Coronado because they built the bridges that go across that lake that you used to have to walk around and put that big three bridges bar and grill in the center. So that helps it. Because you can cut across the lake to get to the feature swimming pool. You don't have to walk around it. So I think they're hearing us.
Yeah. Very cool. Okay, Morgan, what are we going to fix?
My main thing that there's nothing wrong with it, but it does need, well, there's something wrong with it, but needs to be fixed are the buses. After a long day at the parks, they need to figure out some kind of way that they are not slamming 50 million people into this one bus.
Right.
And your nose is in somebody's armpit. And
especially when it's that ride from the Magic Kingdom to like Pop Century, which is the longest ride.
From Magic Kingdom to anywhere.
Right. Yes. I mean, I now try to stay at a resort that bus is not my only option. And if bus is my only option, since I drive there, I will figure some other way to get to the parks because I don't like the buses.
I agree with you.
System.
And that's a certain times of the year, though, too. That's not necessarily every time, but Hollywood Studios closes, that's a definitely horrible trip back. If you're running out of the park at the right as the fireworks get done or whatever the show's done.
Yes.
And especially Fantasmic. Now that they're dumping everybody out by the gas station at the entrance of the park, mm-hmm. everybody jumps on the tram and gets into the buses right away.
Yeah, yeah, so and I mean, it'll be interesting to see how the Skyliner impacts that longer term.
True.
I mean, does it? I don't know that it does, because that only helps you if you're going to a handful of resorts.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can tell you from November, I did go and was staying at Art of Animation, so that is a Skyliner resort, and was walking out of Hollywood, and the line was definitely longer for the Skyliner, but you also have to keep in mind that it's one line for the Skyliner that goes to multiple resorts.
Yes.
Whereas the buses, you're getting on, in most cases, unless it's All-Star, you're getting in the line for your specific resort.
Yes. Right, right. True. But now, again,
I actually do a little planning around resorts based on what you said, Morgan, because if you're at an Epcot resort, you can almost get any of the buses and walk if you're willing to.
Yeah.
I've taken the Art of Animation bus when I'm staying at Pop Century. You know, just cut across Hourglass Lake. So there's some thought that goes into that sometimes, especially if it's going to be busy. And we've jumped. I mean, we're staying at the boardwalk, and here comes the Yacht Club bus or the Swan and Dolphin bus. You know what? I'll walk that. Sure.
Yeah, no, I've totally done that. And that, you know, is a perfect example. But, I mean, when I just want to go, you know, to my room. Now, I mean, I do have to admit, and we are talking pre-COVID.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because obviously right now the buses are not like what I described. You know, you do have a seat, you know, you don't, you're not, you know, arm in arm with a stranger.
Is that because there's not a lot of people in the parks, or is that because they're waiting, making you wait for the next bus?
That's because they're making you wait.
Gotcha.
Everything is sectioned out. So, you know, bus driver comes out and he'll say, you know, how many in your party? And he'll say, okay, go to section one or section five or whatever, depending on how many you have in your party. So it's kind of funny because I remember sitting on the bus in November thinking, I don't remember the last time that I actually sat in a seat.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I hate about the buses. Because obviously I'm one of those people, like, if a mom or a family come in, I'm giving those adults.
Yeah, I'm the sucker for that, too.
Because they're dragging around their kids. They need to sit down more than I do because I'm not dragging anybody else around. So, I mean...
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Good one to fix.
Yeah.
Let me know when they get it done.
You'll know before I do because I'm still going to take my car until somebody tells me.
There you go. Well, here's the thing. For my fix-it now, I was getting a little worried because of you starting out with the buses and such because the thing I have to fix, and I kind of really went through a lot of different things because I really wanted to grab something that meant something to me that is definitely a problem. And this one was and is, and it sucks. I want to get from one resort to another resort because I'm going to dinner or I'm going to a show or I'm doing meeting friends or whatever. I can't get between resorts at night.
Yeah.
Other than me getting private transportation, meaning Uber, taxi, something like that. They did the mini service for a while and that was cool, but that was still costing me money. Each resort should have one or two vans that go between resorts and they all trade back and forth. So that'll be like 50 odd vans running around. I know it's going to be a nightmare to do that, but there's got to be a way to get me. And I always wondered how they can do that because I'm going to these other hotels to spend money. I'm going to see Yeehaw That's Bob right. and buy a crud load of drinks while I'm watching them. Or I'm going to this really cool restaurant over at the Grand Floridian. Why is it on me to find my way back and forth between resorts? And I'm staying at the resort to boot. I'm not coming off property. So well,
you think about it there. You could totally bring back the minivans for that purpose.
Sure. You got to staff them and have it only from, say, like maybe 4 in the afternoon on, perhaps. Do it that way.
Yeah.
Where it's a more of a situation. During the daytime, I think you do have some more options in that you could get back to a park perhaps and then get transportation through the park to your resort or things like that. But once you hit like 9 or 10 o'clock, the parks are closed. You're not taking any buses back to the, you know, the park to get on a different one. So you're stuck.
I think your only option is to go to Springs. And I don't know that I'd want to do that. to sure. part and, to and hop from resort to resort.
Right. And I'm not saying stay open till like 3 a.m. to do this and then drive all the drunks home. This is more along the lines of the people that are having a great time, and it's like you're going out and spending more money at Disney. Get them to where they have to go and get them back. Make it easy.
Yeah. Because, I mean, honestly, like, taking that, you know, okay, I got to go to Springs and then get on the resort bus for that resort that I have my dining reservation at, that's a lot of work, especially if you have that dining reservation, because you've got to factor in however much time that's going to take, which 9 times out of 10, you're like, well, I'm not going to wait that long.
Mm-hmm.
You fork out more money for Uber, Lyft, taxi, whatever. When they had the minivan service, there was a possibility of Disney getting that money. But I think because minivans were more expensive than doing an Uber or Lyft, that's why they died.
They went away, mm-hmm. sure. No, they got to eat this one. And it's not like, I think they were making more money because they wanted to compete with Uber and make it a profit-making thing, as opposed, because what other reason would you do it? Just to make Uber make a tough choice? And they need to kind of, like I said, bite the bullet on the cost and make it a complimentary way to get between hotels. I think
curse aside, blessing aside, right?
And it goes back to the whole idea in the beginning where we're talking about the stories and all these other great, these hotels are phenomenal places to go visit and on top of the restaurants and stuff like that. So I just can't imagine why they don't want to do something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, enough beating.
Yeah, that. It is something because it gets back to that curse of size, blessing of size. Because at Disneyland, right. you can easily walk between all of the resorts.
Right,
all
exactly. Sure. Walking distance. Yeah, that yeah. Disneyland doesn't compare as far as hotel walking.
No, and,
stuff
and
like
that's
that.
Why.
For the good right? and the bad,
it's
though. For the good and the bad.
And he did, and it's just unfortunate.
Because it's not great having all the hotels right next to each other up and down the street at Disneyland either. So
sure.
The goods
yeah,
and the bad.
Don't like that. So the fact that they're spread out and you get lost in these different resorts and, mm-hmm. and there's so much to do is cool, but you're right, getting from one to the other. And by the way, you can plan a day resort hopping.
Sure. Yeah.
Especially
definitely.
At the holidays to go check the decorations. Oh my gosh.
And it's so easy, like I said, between going either through parks or through Disney Springs to switch buses. Yeah, you have no problem doing that. And in the daytime just seems so much easier to do stuff. Once you hit nighttime and everybody starts like disappearing, then it's like, okay, what am I going to do next? How am I going to get here? Because we've had that a couple different times going to see Yeehaw Bob. Mm-hmm. And then figuring out how to get, you know, where are we going to go out? How are we going to get afterwards?
And you know what? To add on to that, if you think about it, all these Disney resorts have all these dining options. And some of these resorts that are further out, like, you know, Riverside that has Yeehaw Bob, or had he helped Bob, hopefully he comes back, that are not, you know, a monorail trip from the Magic Kingdom or you can walk to it from Hollywood or Epcot, you almost miss out on these dining options
right.
because it's so hard to get to them.
You have to spend $400 on a room to enjoy yeah. it otherwise. Yeah, you know, I get yeah. it. Okay, we've beaten this one enough. Let's get on to the best part. Let's get on to the things that we just want to get rid of. What is in the resort experience that we just got to dump? And I'm going to start this one because you guys started the other ones. And my dumping is almost like a negative reversal type of dumping because they started a policy I need them to get rid of. And it's I'm pretty sure it's only the values, but I'm not 100% sure about that. Actually, I don't think they have a moderates. They took away the alarm clocks about 5 years ago.
Oh,
what the hell?
I knew you were going to do that one.
What the hell did they take the alarm clocks away for? I have to put an app on my phone. I mean, I hate my phone's alarm and all the other stuff. And even just looking at it at night to see what time it is. To turn your phone on, it blinds you unless you remember to turn the light down on it. Bring back the alarm clocks, please. Just put the nice little clock next to the... It doesn't have to play my phone. It doesn't have to plug in and do anything. It just has to tell me the time in the middle of the night and wake me up in the morning. That's it.
It's a big one, though. And it's one that, I get it.
And, I mean, they have, like, charging stations where you can plug in multiple different types of phones. So why couldn't they do an alarm clock with that kind of adapter? Because... That way, like, you know, if somebody really wants to be able to plug their phone in
right.
for that alarm or that music coming from their phone, they can do that.
And they used to have such nice ones. At the beginning of the iPhone craze, you could plug your phone, literally put it on the stand on top of the alarm clock to charge it. And then it would play music from your iPhone. We would wake up to the song Disneyland as our alarm because those clocks were so cool at the time.
That's cool. That is cool.
But again, it was there. Okay. I'm done. Sam, you're next.
So I'm going to go more along the lines of the stop with the nickel and diming. And here's what I mean. You can save $10 a night if you don't get mouse service or room service. It's going to cost you $12 a night to park. These right. little things are, in reality, additions to your room rate that they don't have to publish. So they can publish a lower room rate than when you show up, there's fees associated with it. And I just, come on, Disney. And it could just be me wishing for things the way they used to be, but you got to pay to park now. You got to, that's what I'd like to see go away.
And that's a great point, because that's legit. Because when I stayed off property, you always got nailed with those resort fees and
right.
crap like that, parking fees and mm-hmm. such, which could bump it almost $20, $30 a night on the places. So, yeah, I totally agree with that. The whole housekeeping thing, that's an interesting concept. In that I like the idea of having a choice, but the parking thing, oh, that threw me off big time. It's like penalizing you for bringing a car, really?
Right. It makes no sense because I want to get resort to resort and I want to get things. And that's, and you're right, Ed. I think that's what Disney putting my business hat on. If everyone around me is charging a $15 a night resort fee, I don't want to charge a resort fee. Let's charge for parking. That's the same thing.
Right. Exactly. And actually, they probably get away with a resort fee faster than they could the parking fee, in my eyes, just because they got so much on that resort.
Either way,
bad taste.
Either way, that's what I'm after. It's those little nickel and diming things that I'm like, ah. But to be honest, it's hard to come up with something negative. Hard.
Yep. Okay, Morgan, finish this up. What are we going to dump?
Well, actually, I was going with the same thing that Sam was. The nickel and diming, because here's my thing with it. As I mentioned before, I always drive. Rarely, I think last year was the only time I ever flew since, you know, I've been a part of the podcast. The paying for the parking and the housekeeping or mousekeeping, I think it's ineffective in a way, because I've parked at the resorts and not been charged for parking. I've waived housekeeping and still had my room house kept or cleaned or whatever. Like, it doesn't work, you know? And honestly, like, the one time that I waived the housekeeping and they came and cleaned my room, I was actually very annoyed by that. And the reason why is, obviously, when we travel, we have our laptops, we have our electronics, we have all of this. Well, me and Sam, we have our cameras.
Yes.
And we have our extra lenses.
Yep.
And those things cost as much as a camera.
More.
Yeah, if not more.
Right.
Well, I had my lenses that I didn't take to the parks laying on my bed. So here I walk into my room after a day at the parks. Beds made, rooms clean. And my first thing is I go straight for the lenses to make sure they didn't drop them or anything, because, you know, I would have had a heart attack.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, luckily nothing happened, but my whole thing was, I'm not expecting anybody to come into this room.
Right. Yep.
Somebody's coming to this room. I appreciate you making the bed, but that's not, like, I didn't want you to. And same with the parking. I've parked and not been charged. And honestly, there's, like, what's the point in saying you got to pay to park? Because if you think about it, I'm going to go to Ohana for dinner.
Right.
You still got to park at that resort.
Yep.
So, I mean, if you really want to charge for parking, put it in the in-room cost.
Well,
you know?
And that's what I think they don't want to do. They want to keep that in-room cost down.
I will happily pay $10 more. So, you know, $200 a night, I'll pay $210 if you don't tell me I have a parking fee.
Well, okay, remember the guy a couple weeks ago who was all over the news because he was getting arrested? He didn't want to wear a mask, but he was yelling how he spent $16,000 to go to the parks. Well, I want to actually sound like him for a second in that I'm spending how much money to go on a vacation. I shouldn't be paying for parking regardless of where I go, whether at my home resort or to go eat dinner at a different resort on property. I'm on their property. I'm staying there for them, spending money for them. Everything should be free.
Yeah, which I agree with that. But my whole thing is, if you really feel like it's necessary to charge the $12 or whatever for parking, kind of like lie to me and just increase the room rate.
Yeah, but they'll get crap for that side too. Because once somebody breaks it down and sees what it is, they'll be complaining off the, you know, they'll complain to management and they'll have to refund them that.
Yeah, and there could be a resort fee coming. Who knows, right?
Yeah, I mean.
I hope not.
Yeah, just the nickel and diming because of the ineffectiveness that I personally witnessed, I don't like.
And that's a good point, where if it was actually being efficiently run, it would make sense and that would be okay. Yeah.
I've checked into a hotel because sometimes when I go, I will sometimes leave after work and get there 3 o'clock in the morning. And I go to my front desk and I check in. And I remember like one of the first times that they started the parking and that I stayed there, the person at the front desk didn't know how to do it and wouldn't let me go to my room. And I'm like, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Can I just go to my room and go to sleep?
And you figure it out and let me know in the morning.
because.
Well, that's just, you know, inexperience, and I'm sure they learned and whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, totally. Okay, guys. So what do you think? What do you think about the Disney resorts? What works for you? What needs to be tweaked a little bit and what needs to get rid of? Send us an email. Let us know. If we get enough of them, we might actually do a part two to this. Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with the show.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com. And watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Jimmy always shows up. Where'd he come from?
He's a ninja, that one.
He's a ninja.
Okay, guys, so that's it for show 388 of the Disney Nerds podcast, the keep it, fix it, dump it of the resorts. For Sam, Morgan, this is Ed. We're the Disney Nerds, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Kongaloosh.
Have a magical night. Hakuna Matata.
Join our jamboree. There's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace.